The text does not say more subtle than any other beast of the field. It says more subtle than any creature of the land. And there's a big difference. Had the word other appeared, it would mean that the serpent was a beast of the field. The omission of that word takes it out of that realm. The serpent in this text is not a snake, but a person, Satan himself. You can find the same serpent in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil. Satan is pleased to have legends promoted. Whether it be horns, cloven foot, forked tail, red hide, glaring eyeballs, smoking nostrils, pitchfork in hand, or a python wound about a tree in the garden, it serves his purpose to camouflage the truth. Now the truth is revealed in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 3 and 14. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now that is a close-up of what happened. That is different than the legend that supports tradition, encourages the jeers of the infidel, and stumbles the weak. You aren't dealing with a snake, mister. You encounter the devil. Satan bewildered Eve by the brilliance of his appearance. Now, when you deal with the tempter, sir, you face one of the most beautiful, complete, gifted, and individuals ever created. We're no match for that dazzle. His original condition was one of perfection, and his position one of great authority. He was named Light-Bearer, or Lucifer. The preacher Ezekiel describes him in chapter 28, verses 13 through 17. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, and I will cast thee to the ground. It was this person that Eve faced, and it was no match without the power of God's word. Paul says he appeared as an angel of light. Christ met this same adversary in the wilderness, and Matthew says of our Lord to be tempted of the devil. Jesus didn't see or talk to a snake, mister. He faced an angel of light. I know the argument that Satan must have entered a reptile of some description, since in the curse, God says, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. The curse was upon Satan. Remember the words of Ezekiel? I will cast thee to the ground. Now the Bible is written in picture language. We have no difficulty in recognizing the picture language of head and heel in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It shall bruise thy head, the seed of the woman, the Christ, and thou, Satan, shall bruise his heel. The writer to the Hebrews presents this story. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The same picture language is used in belly and dust. A snake does not live on dust. Dust is the figure of utter defeat. We use such figure of speech when we say he bit the dust. David uses it in Psalm 72 and verse 9. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. He borrows this figure of speech again in Psalm 44 and verse 25. For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. That stresses ultimate humiliation. God sees the end from the beginning, so he speaks of Satan's utter defeat. Dust shalt thou eat. It is the penalty of the proud. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And I will cast thee to the ground. It is spoken in the book of Genesis, and it is fulfilled in the book of Revelation. In God's mind, the ultimate has already been accomplished. The first recorded utterance of Satan in Scripture is this. Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. This is a key to his activity. His sphere is not the sphere of crime or vulgarity. Those are spheres of unregenerated man. He, sir, is the prince of the power of the air, not the prince of the gutter. His attack is directed toward the word of God. Jesus put it succinctly, of sin, because they believe not on me. He faced Satan with three words, it is written. Satan's attack is against the word of God. The word of God declares Jesus of Nazareth Savior, and that faith is saving faith. You show me the preacher or the professor who attacks the word of God, and it won't take me long to find the devil. At the Jordan, heaven testifies, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Almost before the echo of that confirmation had vanished, Satan attacks, if thou be the Son of God. He does not say like the atheist, there is no God. Mr. Atheist, the devil is ashamed of you. You are too ignorant to go to hell. Satan suggests that God doesn't mean what he says. Mister, listen to that kind of slur, and it will lead to trouble every time. That's all it takes. The toboggan slide into iniquity will follow. Your strength, our salvation, is in saying, Lord, Lord, I believe. Every denying preacher in the pulpit has studied under Eve. She gave them their degrees. Eve dealt the word of God in the only three deceitful ways in which a person can deal with the word of God. First, she deleted something. She omitted the word freely. Second, she added something. She added the sentence, neither shall ye touch it. Third, she altered something. She altered the certainty, thou shalt die into the contingency lest ye die. Paul says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. His devices are three, sir, in number. Subtraction, addition, alteration. And I've watched revival movements go to pieces when evangelists and teachers and pastors began altering the word of God to fit the times and the styles and the pressures. And the devil has walked right in and spoiled the garden of God's planting. He got Ananias and Sapphira to subtract something. They agreed at his suggestion to keep back part of the price. And that agreement has been reached more than once. And that's why there's a lot of death, Mr. Preacher, in your church today. There are more people dropping out than are coming in. He got King Saul to do a little alteration. He gave his own interpretation. The people spared the best to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Mister, when God wants it clean, he wants it clean. We're so busy these days making sacrifices unto the Lord that our church kitchens are working overtime. Saul was told bluntly to obey is better than sacrifice. He formed a corporation of Judaizers in the New Testament who dogged the steps of Paul from Antioch to Rome, doing their best to fetter young believers with old customs. Paul tells the Colossians, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom, in will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Notice how our Lord faced Satan. He faithfully repeated God's word three times. Sir, God's word is the sword of the Spirit. It is sharp enough to win every time. Satan brands God a liar. He tells Eve, ye shall not surely die. Now that's something hell hasn't been able to prevent from that time to this. It's the greatest falsehood on record. But the devil is still spreading that lie. Ye shall not surely die. He says, ye shall be as gods. That's the package the dope peddler pushes. That's the bait that gets the embezzler started. It was what he himself believed. Read it in the 14th chapter of Isaiah and verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. He already knew what had happened to himself. You can see Lucifer at Eden saying, I know what brought about my fall, and I'll try it on this woman. I'll tell you what will happen, sir. You won't become godlike. You'll become Satan-like and hell-like. Read about it in the 8th chapter of John and verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Man cannot make himself God, sir. That's hell's most popular and high-priced deception. There's no salvation through self-improvement. So through 4 millenniums and through 4 dispensations, God dealt with man. But in all that time, no God-like man was produced. It was after God had proved through these dispensations that man could not become God-like, that God himself became man-like to settle the question of man's sin. So don't be snake-bitten. It is through the work of the man-like one on the cross of Calvary that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died and rose again from the dead, that we shall be like him. That is the truth, sir, and the truth shall set you free. Now, we've been blessed and moved in this service. We're not bound by ritual or religious form. We have open minds and open hearts toward the Lord, and our risen Savior is beckoning us to visit with him at the broadcast altar. So I'll be moving toward that altar in these next 10 seconds. Please, please follow me.
There's room at the cross for you.
You will find Mrs. P.H. Morrison of Bradenton, Florida, kneeling at the long, long altar. She's one of our intercessors. I don't think Sister Morrison has missed one of these altar services in 19 years. And Sarah Morse, at another point at this altar there at Pomona, California, came for her son. She says, this 18-year-old boy is now serving God. He's busy with our church quartet, helps in all the youth activities, never misses a regular service. God certainly met me and lifted my burden at your altar. So many of us want to pray. So let's start lifting our voices together in the Bible way. Lord Jesus, commune with us and give us direction. Break through hindrances of self-will, questionable practices, and uncleansed lives. Grant peace to uneasy minds and disturbed consciences. Break the fetters that weaken bodies and jail our spirits. Rebuke every evil spirit that blackmails our souls. Fill us with the Holy Ghost boldness to speak for Jesus to our neighbors. I ask these gifts in the name of Jesus and by his authority. Amen.